morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome again to our Sunday Sunrise Project call, where it's always a safe space for us to gather together in our efforts to heal ourselves and our families. I'm really happy you all are here with us this morning in this safe space for us, and we take this time that we cherish so beautifully every week. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm feeling really great this morning, and I'm so happy to have our resident expert, Dr. Linda McGee, back with us this morning. So, all of you, I believe, know Dr. Linda. I'll share just a little bit about her in case you don't, but we'll jump right into our session this morning. Our resident expert, as I've said, Dr. Linda McGee, has been with us since the very, very, very beginning, back in 2000. She is a clinical psychologist, attorney, and nationally recognized mental health expert and speaker. She's been featured everywhere, as many of you know, and she is on the road, on the go, speaking all over the world. And she is a visiting faculty at George Washington University and the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. So I could go on and on and on and on, but we really want to have this space this morning be an open space for people to open up and share or get some insights from Dr. Linda on what might be happening in your world. And so it really is an opportunity for people to come together and share. So this is our monthly open session this morning. There's not a specific topic because you are the topic. So if anybody wants to share or open up, or Dr. Linda, if you want to open with some words, I know you traveled this morning,
I
and welcome.
did. So bright and
Welcome.
early commute from Delaware to DC. Good morning, everybody. First of all, Kelly, thanks for the great introduction as always. And to let you know that I'm at George Washington and Loyola now, as my
Amazing.
university affiliations.
Congratulations.
I think that's the update. I'm still doing a little bit of private practice and assessment and consulting with parents who are in situations similar to parents that are on this line. And I'm also trying to keep the focus on multiculturalism even as we go through these political times. And as I think I've told most of you before, hosting now the Multicultural Psychologist, which is a podcast devoted to the intersection of culture and psychology.
That's awesome. And yes, we need your new bio with all of that. That's fantastic. So, Dr. Linda, what's been going on in your world lately? How are you doing?
I'm feeling good, and I really want to just emphasize the thing that's been on my mind. I think I lead with this on most of my shows. And because it's so prevalent in my personal life and in my professional life, that of parents who are in the process of dealing with difficult situations with their children. Unfortunately, I've seen, parents who've had to withstand some abusive actions from their children who are suffering with mental illness and I just or substance abuse, but I just always want to emphasize that you as parents are important human beings. You deserve to be treated with kindness and respect. And you don't owe your child the gift of accepting or accepting of abuse. And this is just on my heart today because I've seen parents who are burdened with these situations and who feel like that somehow they're deserving of it because of what if they might have done or not have done as parents. And I just wanted to emphasize today that you are worthy of love, respect, and kindness, and you do not deserve abuse.
Love, respect, and kindness. So as you deal with people who and like you said, we're all parents, many of us, most of us are parents on this call. How do you, if you feel like somebody is being disrespectful, one of your children or somebody else, what is the, what are some tools
Right.
that we
And
can meet.
I just want to start, Kelly, by like talking and chatting back and forth with you about where the line is, right? Obviously, in many instances, if your child is dealing with some of these issues, there's a tension, there's a natural tension, and there're going to be disagreements, particularly over whether or not the person needs to have treatment or not, because as young adults, they have a control over their own affairs. But Kelly, I just want to sort of like back and forth with you, like some things that, natural disagreements, disputes, but when it comes to like, cursing, a child cursing you out, a child calling you well out of your name, a child touching you physically, pushing you, shoving you, slapping you, a child who's like kind of lying in wait for you once you get home to sort of scream at you. And we know that a lot of this behavior comes from their own frustrations with their situation, right? And we know with our intellectual mind that your child might be talking that way to you because they're frustrated because they see all of their friends out with jobs and are in school or progressing on with their lives. And they don't have those things. So when you are in the home with them, a lot of times you are the repository or the receptor of their frustration. But I mean, the line has to be drawn by each individual, but I have seen parents who are literally, I feel, being abused by their children. And that's what's on my heart and mind today to talk about that. I mean, you can tell me, Kelly, or anyone else can chime in. Have they felt uncomfortable? Have they felt that the line had been crossed?
I did back in, 5 years ago with Kyle a long time ago when he was in high school. I did. There were moments for sure. And you know about that. We talked about it here.
It
And
happens with
now,
it happens in almost every situation like this. Go
different though
on.
now in that the conversation is different because of all the tools I've learned here around listening more and asking questions and getting curious. So, as an example, I think I shared that during the holidays, he was here and he's actually moving back to Maryland this coming week.
Oh, he is.
He is. And I asked a question at Christmas time. I said, Kyle, do you think we do well living together? And because I knew it was as stressful for him as it was for me, probably more for me, but me constantly fussing with him about not taking food in his room, and I smelled weed. And I was like, "Oh no, we're not doing that here. We're not doing that." And so he said, "Absolutely not." Like he knows, he knew we don't do well living together. And but I had him; he had an opportunity to say that, so it wasn't like I felt like I needed to say you can't live here. It was an opportunity for him to articulate, "No, I
Right.
don't
And you were
think this
just
is
being
good."
honest with where you are. He being honest that he can't live with you, and you being honest that you think that you function better not in the same space.
But asking him the question versus me saying, you can't do this, asking the question allowed him to be honest too and say, no, we don't. Well, I agree with you.
I think that too, like you've grown to the point where you understand that you're taking those unkind words and never, sort of responding is not really helpful to him or you.
But also
And
just telling the
don't deserve
truth
them.
and listening. And with Chris, who's leaving to go to school this coming week, which is a blessing, he too has his moments where I'll ask him to do something and he doesn't do it. And then I'll ask again and he doesn't do it. The pivot I've made in the last few weeks or the last couple of months is I then sternly and clearly, that's the difference, very clearly say what my expectation is, or I'll say, I need this room to be cleaned. I'm going to come check at 7 a.m. Put a deadline on it, a timeline on it, and I'll leave a note. I won't scream about it. I'm not fussing about it. I just put a note on his door, like a big note. And at 7 o'clock, I'm back saying, good morning. And he's like, oh, I think you can see the difference because there's a clear expectation, but also a timeline. That's a new learning
Right.
too.
Right.
That is
A
different. It's like,
timeline and a request, right? From one adult to another, right? For the privilege of living in your home, right? I think, Kelly, that sometimes parents feel guilty for some reason about how their child has quote unquote turned out, that they accept blatant disrespect,
That's
respect
right.
that clearly goes over the line. And I just want to toss that out there as well, is that, somehow we feel like it's our fault. And
Well,
if
that
we
is
hadn't
the
have
case because I say all the time still without the guilt or the shame anymore. But I say all the time, boy, I wish I could get the time back. But I know I can't get the time back. You know, if I could get the time back, I do think, I don't think, I know my behaviors and actions would be different. I'm so clear on that.
And how would they be?
You know, the one of the pivotal moments of some of the things that happened with Kyle, with our family at that time, was a real simple thing of him just wanting to stop swimming and he wanted to play basketball. So that's a very simple response would have been, okay, cool, let's do that. That's different. And then, no, you're gonna, you know, forcing him, pretty much forcing him to do something that he was tired of doing. It's like it's a natural behavior to not want to do that anymore. And I would have responded or said, no problem. You know, you're more than swimming. So let's do what's good for you, what you want to do.
So
And
Kelly, though knowing that you would have done things differently, it still serves no purpose to let a child blame you.
100% agree.
It just, and it keeps people in status quo. And I see a lot of situations, Kelly, where you were talking about living together, where the child refuses to get treatment.
That's right.
The young adult refuses to get treatment. They refuse to leave the home, really, to do get a job. And they use threatening and harsh behavior to manipulate and blaming behaviors to manipulate the parents into keeping that status quo, where they don't have the responsibility to do anything. And I think that that is not a helpful cycle, and it becomes a situation where you're codependent, and it oftentimes even dwells on the enabling.
That's right. So I want to make sure that if anybody has anything on their minds this morning, like to get
Yeah, it
some.
doesn't have to be this subject at all. It could be completely different.
Exactly.
Kelly just asked me what I was thinking about, and this topic has just been at the top of my radar for months.
Right.
But I'd like to hear from you all. We're at the end of the summer. Some of you have children who are going to be going away. Some of you have children that you're still working on and working with. But I also want to check in with you all. Like, where is your level right now of dealing with all of this? We talk a lot on this show about getting habits, about self-care, but I want to know, like, as you all know, it's hard to form habits. And how many of you are keeping up with those self-care habits, and how many of you are struggling? Anybody this morning? So this is a great topic. What tips do you share to better manage the situation? I really think that because of the things that we were talking about this morning, we have a hard time seeing the situation. And I want Kelly to kind of chime in here too. We have a hard time seeing that we're enabling. And we have a hard time seeing that we're just letting our child heap that guilt on us as his way to not, or her way to not do anything, to keep the status quo. So this is the one time where I really do think that talking to people will help. And if you talk to someone who, maybe is has some clinical experience, that will be good. But I even think opening up to your community sometimes is helpful, because oftentimes we have a hard time just calling up a therapist, because that really just sort of lays out in our head that there's a problem. But we can talk. We can call our friend Kelly, and Kelly can say, I can talk to you about my experience, and here's this doctor that I know that can help. And a lot of times we need bridges to sort of get to talking to a professional, or get to talking to people that can provide some concrete and some solid advice. A lot of times this is going to involve people getting their own help to deal with the fact that this guilt that you feel, and it that keeps your mouth closed, it has you not giving your child any like responsibilities or any nudges toward help, has to be dealt with. And I just think that a lot of times when you're in this kind of sticky situation, you have a 22-year-old or a 23-year-old who's stuck in place. You really need to work as if a couple, if there's a couple in place, or on your own, on your how you were raised, what got you to this place, right? I was speaking to someone the other day that had been abandoned by her father. And so she has wrapped up into her interactions with her son are this thought that she doesn't want to be the person abandoning him, as opposed to getting him toward help.
And you want them
And
to feel like they're welcome home at all times. They're welcome, you
yes,
know.
but welcome at home as a 22-year-old who is not doing anything other than dwelling in his bedroom, that is not help. That is
That's right.
enabling. That,
And
he
dwelling in the bedroom, and also not listening or respecting boundaries.
right. And so, the very least is like what the way you and I started this conversation is to do some thinking about whether or not the relationship has crossed lines. The
What
denial
does that
some
mean? Say that.
well,
What does
it
that
means
mean?
like when the relationship, if your child is in your face screaming at you every day, and you find yourself even remotely threatened, if you find yourself being called names and feeling abused and feeling beat down, then you should at this point start to think about whether or not this has crossed the line. This is not a healthy relationship. And so one of the people on the chat said, stuck with this, my fault. Yes. Okay, so th when I am encountering in the therapeutic situation people that say this is my fault, either the parents or the child. And I always say to them, a lot of times we can't sort out what actually happened. But let's accept that it is your fault for a minute. Right? It's your fault. Now what? Right? Even if you could have parented better, now what? Is that an excuse for your child to not get help with his substance abuse issues, with his mental health, with her mental health issues for the rest of their lives? No, right? So even if you accept that you did not do everything perfectly, and I assure you that you did not, right? None of us are perfect, and neither is your child. But it's my fault just is one of those things that freezes you in place. It perpetuates the status quo. And it ultimately is not, going to get, if you're letting your child do it every day, it's your fault. You're to blame. You didn't do this. You put me on the swim team. You made me go to that school. If that's where they're stuck, know that they're stuck. And you in the cycle with them, it is your own stuckness. And it is not healthy. And I want to just say one more thing. A lot of times we need our own help because we think that we deserve that treatment from our children, either because it's our fault, we're guilt, quote unquote, it's our fault, we're guilty, or we are dealing with our own underlying self-esteem or trauma. This is deep, deeper than we normally go, but I feel like that someone needs to hear this today. You know, that their issues with their child has to do with their own sense that they're not worthy.
There's a great question, Dr. Linda. It says, what tips can you provide to help with a plan to move to a better place, to have the answers
What
necessary
I
kind
was,
of thing?
yeah, I was getting started with that by talking about talking to someone who can help you sort out what we were been talking about. What's your issues? What is your child's issues? Are there treatment options? Treatment options, educational options, and even community options, right? Because a lot of times when I'm dealing with parents, they're like, "Well, I just need to get him or her back into school." And I'm thinking that the level of functioning is just not there. So what my initial analysis of the situation is to help parents and children get into the correct treatment options, medication options. But then when we look beyond that, what is the one step or steps that you can help your child take or that your child can take to start to move ahead? They may not be able to go back to that university, but can they take a class? Can they take a class locally? Can so that they can start building up esteem? Because a lot of us have children that are boomerangs. They left, but they came back. Well, what we don't really analyze is that they come back with less confidence. So sometimes the answer is to start with small, appreciable, let them take a step, right? And even if that step is that they get out of their room and they walk around the block once a day, that's a step. And so to realize that you're going to need some kind of a plan to get your child from where they are now and where you are now to small, appreciable steps of improvement, whether that be you go get your counseling, whether that be you stop sitting there every day thinking, blaming yourself and go to the gym yourself and
That's
start
right.
taking care of yourself. So there is a plan there that has to do with your mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. And there is a plan there for your child in all of those aspects. But the last thing I want to say, and then I want to address some of the really nice comments in the chat, is that the hardest thing about all of this with adult children is that we don't have control over them. They, and the acceptance of the fact that you can't fix this by yourself.
That's right.
They can choose not to get help. But what you can do, though, is you can make conditions for a person to stay in your home. You can make conditions for a person that you are financially supporting. And this is hard. This is why I advise people to get a professional involved, because it's often too emotional for parents to say, you need to do A, B, and C in order to stay in my house. You need help. And I can't force you to get help, but this is our agreement in with regard to you staying here, which is that you have to go see this counselor twice a week. We had someone on the line, remember Kelly, that really took this to court. This was a while
I
ago, but
remember.
I mean, I had never heard, well, I had heard of it, but she really followed through because the person, her son was so stubborn that he would not get any help. And so this is why I kind of wanted to talk about what's over the line. And then I want to talk about parent deserving respect. And then I want to talk about the hard conversations that you sometimes have to have with your children who are mentally ill or who are dealing with substance abuse. Is that, I can't control your behavior, but I really need for you to do these things to get the help that you need. And if you get the help that you need, then we can continue to cohabitate in the same home.
It's conditional. So what's back to the question that was in the chat, giving people like conditions upon which they can stay with you.
Yes.
Conditions.
Right. And that you, I mean, and to know there's certain things, like, for example, you have younger children in the house. Have someone in the home that's like using and abusing drugs and who are hanging around with people that are using and abusing drugs are a threat to your other children and a threat to you. So there are conditions that we often do not want to talk about. And listen to what I'm saying here. I am not saying put your child out. I am saying that them sitting around in your home for 5, 10 years without treatment as adults makes it so hard for them to ever get treatment. And the only and you might have only very few points of leverage because they control their own legal destiny. And so, we've had other callers on here say what you said earlier, we do better in separate places.
Right, but asking them the question,
Yeah.
that's the key versus like the definitive. It's asking the
And
question.
you can say, Kelly, you're angry with me all the time. I maybe you would be better off if you were somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I want to like look at some of the chats. I want to go with Vicky's comment first, and then I'll go with the other one. It is hard. I am I'm gonna just keep it personal here. I've set out to do better with my body, my mind, my spirit. And building those habits is really hard, and doing all of those things in one day is really hard. And so I do have a couple of things that I want to say, and I'm so glad that someone brought up the book Atomic Habits because I'm reading and listening to it now, and I actually find it to be quite helpful. Is that first of all, treating yourself with compassion, even while you're trying to change your habits. A lot of self-love, a lot of self-compassion. I realize that decades of doing things one way are not going to result in turning on a dime. And when you set goals, set small goals and know that you're not going to get to everything every day. And know that you could try to have a couple of things that you try to keep in your mainstay of habits. Again, just a small thing that I'll share is I'm trying to drink water first thing in the morning, right? I just decided I am just going to drink water until in the morning. And even if it's a cup, that's fine. Because I sometimes don't want to drink 24 ounces of water. So I've now decided that that cup of water is better than nothing. Okay. I was talking to my doctor the other day because they all the rage is to talk about what menopause and postmenopausal women is to all these protein diets. And I've gotten to the point with this protein thing where it's like I'm trying to eat a good amount of protein every day. I try to have protein with 80% of my meals, but I am not driving myself crazy trying to hit some crazy protein goal. So going back to Vicky's point, choosing some things you're going to focus on, giving yourself self-compassion to know that you're not going to be perfect. And I would say lessening the number of goals that you're going after all at the same time, right? And like think about the goals that people are talking about, how they relate to you. So I'll just share one last thing and then I'll go to the rest of the chat. I'm trying to do steps. Right. So what I decided to do that works for me is that some days I can do a lot of steps and some days I can't because of my schedule.
Okay.
And so what I've decided to do is go with average. What are in the last 7 days, what are my average number of steps? And so I try to average, I'm increasing my average per week. Some now I'm just at about 5,000. Right. So I'm averaging 5,000 steps a day, even though some days I'm taking 2,500 and some days I'm taking 7,500. So you have to make, because I'm not doing that. I'm not committing to doing this 7 days a week. So my point is, Vicky, is that, and for everyone else, is that like try to find it a way that you could do some things for yourself in a way that already goes with your lifestyle, right?
Makes sense,
And not fight yourself on all these things. If you're not going to be a person that eats celery every day, that's fine. What I'm trying to do is, I'm not a huge veggie eater, is to put them in a smoothie and just figure out small little ways, but to not set yourself up where perfect, you're either perfect or you're a failure.
Right. I love that.
Someone else talks about, we were talking about other people's actions. Let them. Yes, that's the we talked about that book.
The let them theory, yeah.
The let them theory, right? Like ultimately that philosophy I think is useful, but it's so very hard when it's your flesh and blood. And I want
Absolutely.
to acknowledge that. Right. I mean, how many times have we watched our kid, our child do something, and even though we know better, we try to help fix it because it's our child, because they're living in America right now, because we know things are hard, because we love them. So I do think that sometimes we have to sort of let them go in the way that they're going to go. But I at the same and I've been pushing basically this whole call for us to challenge our children to get help and to get better and to not just let them just let them right be. But I do think that Kelly sort of illustrates really well the sort of struggle. It's your child. You want what's best for them. You want them back in school. But by the same token, you're like, well, in order to do these things, you and I need to live in separate places. I'm going to give you this. Kelly and I have talked about this many times. I know she doesn't mind me saying this. I've counseled her and many other people to like, okay, you can't take away everything at once, but you can say, look, you're 22 right now. I'm going to give you 18 months. I'm going to give you this much money a month for 18 months. And then the next 6 months, I'm going to give you half of that. And then we're going to go to zero. And so there are ways that you can work toward independence and work toward them surviving on their own without just pushing them out the door on a dime. So tough love is hard. I'm reading from the chat, but necessary at times. Placing supports around them helps. So I'm not the only resource. So true. I think a lot of parents really put a lot of strain on their own health because they are in this relationship with a child who won't leave, who won't get help. But they're in their home. But they also, the child doesn't lean or rely on anyone else. They don't have a therapist. They're not in any community support groups. And it just puts so much stress on the parents who are not going to survive forever.
Right.
So
That's the part right there. I think even just having that conversation to say in a way, a nice way, I'm not going to be here forever. So my intention for you is to be able to take care of yourself. Like
Right.
that's important to be able to take
And
care
to
of yourself.
understand that in these circumstances, in a lot of circumstances, your child your adult child can do better than what they're doing, but for some reason will not. And continuing to allow them to assume that they can just float like that forever is ultimately unhelpful.
Right.
Well, okay, so let me see here.
Tracy says tough love is hard but necessary. Absolutely agree.
Absolutely. And provided plan to move to a better place to have the necessary conversation and possibly an exit plan. Is it okay to have an exit plan if the young adult may not have another place to go? I think it is, but I think we should work to help identify community resources. Now, whether they'll want to use them or not is another story. But as you're saying, look, as a condition to stay here, you've got to start utilizing or and getting help. And even the hard conversation of, saying a person can't come in your house on a particular day because you don't feel safe, or because they've pushed you yesterday and you're scared it's going to go even farther today. It's to always think about ways that you can provide support, even when you're having a tough conversation or when you have to do something really tough, like changing your locks, is to do that in concert with providing your child via text, via note, via phone call with some supports. You can go here for this day, or you can check yourself into Suburban on your own, Suburban Hospital for those of you who aren't in the DMV, on your own. But yes, please try to give them some community supports. But if your personal safety is at issue, protect yourself. It is okay to love yourself enough to protect yourself from a child who's threatening you.
That's right.
I mean, these are real conversations, and I have been privy to a lot of them that have turned out, where parents might get hurt or shoved around. And I just really am reaching out today to tell you, don't do that. Don't let your child physically assault you. It is not good for anyone in the long run. It is not a
Right.
healthy relationship. And ultimately, I want to just talk, Kelly, for 1 second about
Sure.
blame. Blame. Mostly everyone who has mental struggles, who's an emerging adult, will blame their parents. And there are several reasons for that. One is that the parents are the only one there and they're still listening, right?
That's right.
Two, it's really easy to blame parenting for your own decision making. I once had a kid in therapy and he was saying to me, I just blame my parents for not giving me more exposure to things. And I'm like, but you know that decision you made to take those 10 shots and then get behind the wheel of a car, you know that that's wrong, right? That the children blame themselves, their parents, as a way to not ever get help for the problem. I don't have to acknowledge anything that's going on with me because my parents, I can just blame it on my parents. All right. It's a way to keep them at status quo. It keeps equilibrium, right? Which means you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there blaming your parents. And for the last reason they blame their parents is that sometimes there are some parenting challenges. Sometimes there are some relationships that are misaligned and unhelpful, I mean, and toxic. So there are many, many reasons why your child blames you. And that's why sometimes, with the nuance and the subtleties between all those reasons, it's good to be able to talk to someone else because it helps you to sort through the part of what the child is saying that we might want to deal with, and the parts that you know that are just stonewalling. The chat says loving yourself more doesn't mean you love them less, and loving them more doesn't mean you love yourself less, right? You can love your child and ask them to get help. You can love your child and tell them that if they think about raising their hand to they can't live in your house. You can love yourself by setting some boundaries. And it's okay if you feel like that you can't live with your child anymore. I've heard people admit this on this in this space, and they do it so reluctantly. I hate to say this, but I'm really glad that he lives somewhere else. It's okay if you feel more comfortable and safe with your child in inpatient somewhere or living somewhere else or in halfway house or with your aunt. It's okay to need and want a break from the constant responsibility of caring for an adult child. It's okay that you go and smile and take that vacation in Aruba and enjoy yourself and breathe. But someone in the chat just said, we can't be enablers. And I want to just let that set for a minute. What do y'all put, if you can, those of you who are on here that can put something in chat, what is enabling? What behaviors do you find that are enabling?
I think constantly, getting a call, maybe not constantly, but getting a call where it's like, oh, I need money. Can you send me? I need to go to work. So, but I need an Uber because I'm running late. This is across the country. I need an Uber. And it's like, but you just told me you had saved $2,000. So, but then you're in the middle of a conference call or you're in the middle of doing something or driving somewhere. So you just do it because you feel like, okay, well, I don't want them to be stuck. I'm assuming they're telling me the truth, and it's not great.
The last time you and I talked about this, I was saying, well, what's the plan? Right? I can see this has struck a nerve because the chat is alive now. Fixing repeatedly, right? Something happens. So they're 23 years old. They're still in your house. They miss an appointment. What do? You call and you try to smooth it over with the people that they made an appointment with. You try to get them out of their consequences because the help or the therapist is threatening to stop treating them because they don't show up. And so you're talking to the therapist to keep them on the case. You're trying to keep on encouraging them even when they quit job after job, paying his bills. Someone said helping someone not to change. Woo.
That's a good one.
I stopped enabling and he chose homelessness. And as painful, and you wrote that twice, as painful as that is, your adult child has that choice. When you see their accounts are negative and you put money in, so what message is that seeing that they never have to be aware of zero, right? They never ever have to be accept the consequences of zero, right? As an adult, we have to keep the account above zero. When you go in every time he has a negative $145 balance, your message is that you can go below zero if you want because I'm going to step in. How are they going to be accountable at a job? How are they going to be accountable in any kind of adult relationships if no one is holding them accountable and neither are you? Not holding them to be accountable or responsible and allowing them to place blame. Ooh, that's a whole word in the chat. Allowing them to place blame. It is never their fault, right? Again, the relationship between parents and child is the relationship a lot of times that people take out to the world, that pattern. And if you don't hold them accountable in your home, even with a mental illness or a substance abuse problem, they are not going to be able to meet the expectations of the world, either in a job or school environment or in a relationship. They'll just go into their marriage blaming everyone else, blaming their spouse, blaming their children.
It's so deep.
So this is very deep, right? And so I want to pivot a little bit with what I've been alluding to with Kelly by talking about what can we do? What how can we start turning it around? Right? Again, I'm not a big believer in saying, okay, I've been fixing your negative bank balance for 3 years and today I'm stopping. But I do think that the next conversation you have, the next time you see a negative balance, it's just say, listen, I in a couple of months am not going, I'm going to ask you to start managing your money better. I'm going to ask you to start working on that right now. And I will not fix a negative balance. And you will have to deal with the bank yourself. And you will not be able to use your ATM card. And you will not be able to order Uber. Or you gradually start reducing the budget.
That's right.
Okay, somebody said, I watched that account close. You know what happens when you have a negative account? They don't allow it for so long. You know, parents, some of us are making our own lives hard because we won't have boundaries. I ended up removing my name. By all means, remove your name. Right? So now you're $145 negative and you need an Uber. Look, we had an agreement that in 3 months I was going to stop doing this for you. I was going to stop trying to help you get to work when you're late and when you don't have a plan. And so it's unfortunately, I can't help you right now.
And I
You
think
know,
that's the truth. That what I love about what you just said is just telling the truth. Or maybe it's, but the question is, you could, but you're choosing not to.
won't, it's fine.
Right.
I let them. I just love that. I just love that. And they had to come up with other resources. The let them principle at play.
Yes.
But, you know, when we look at our children and we even understanding that they develop later than we do and that maybe we were made to be self-sufficient very young. As as particularly most African Americans, there is a point in time where they have to move toward adulthood or they never will. We need to know when to go silent. I tell them, I listen without judgment. I ask them to reflect on the past and the things I have said before. I think that's a fair comment. You've already said what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And it's perfectly acceptable to say, remember we had a sit down discussion 6 months ago that I was going to not make sure you get to work on time, that I'm not coming to your room to beg you to go to your job, that I am not going to give you $40 for Uber to for a job that only pays $10 for the day.
Right. That's right.
And so, put my record on repeat. My messages have not changed, right? So they're going to keep coming to ask you to cover their negative ba bank balance and to accept blame until you become immovable. Until you say, see what I said before. We've already talked about this, and I've got to go.
Right.
Because they're engaging you because they want to keep, get you back to doing what sustained them
That's
before.
right.
You know, when we train about narcissists in psychology, we talk about people not engaging because when you engage and when you engage with a narcissist, when you engage with a 3-year-old, when you engage with a teenager, the engagement is what gets you over to their side.
That's right.
Right? Because they know that if they just ask Kelly for the fifth, I know if I ask your if I ask my mom for the fifth time, she will do it. So I'm going to keep asking her 5 times. Even when she starts saying no and starts to take a stand, you gotta stay consistent. You have to mean what you say, because once your adult child
That's
knows
the
that
thing.
you're gonna slide back, they'll just keep pushing you. And then all of a sudden you're right back to where you were. Except now you have a child that you can't even threaten because they know that you don't mean
That's the thing. Even a last thing I would just say about that is being going through on what you say. So there was a I had one of my sons on my American Express account. And it was just charged up, charged up, charged up. And I said, this is, you have to stop shopping. This is not okay. It's not okay. And finally I said, I'm turning the card off. And I did. Well, I made the limit. He was well past the limit. And he went to charge something. And he texted me, Mom, I was trying to get shampoo and it was declined. And I said, well, you'll have to make some money to pay for it. And that was, and he looked like, so, but from that point on, now I'm getting texts about, oh, I did another swim lesson, so I got some cash. And this, you know, he's now focused on making money. Because it's like, no, I'm not just going to let you keep charging. I asked you to stop. You didn't. So now there's a limit, and you're past the limit, so you can't buy anything.
So I want to sort of conclude by saying that it's not just about us saying no. It's exploring why we're having such a hard time saying no. What's going on with us that leads us to capitulate in an unhealthy situation that is unhelpful ultimately to your child? And finally, I want to say again to be kind to yourself and to understand that you are indeed worthy of treating yourself with respect, even
Yeah.
in connection with your children.
Absolutely. The treating yourself with respect is so critical, and having boundaries and having and telling people the truth. You know, here's the situation. But also, I think what you said earlier about knowing we're worthy and not feeling that we're going to allow the abuse, it's really abuse to continue.
And I see that so much with women. I mean, it happens with men too, but I see that so much with mothers. For some reason, we're conditioned to take it. And it just makes me sad.
Well, I think we also don't want to put our children in the system. And so if there's a threatening moment, we don't want to call 911.
We'll talk about that on another show.
Yeah.
Because that is a viable issue, but it is also not the issue that should keep you from help forever.
Absolutely. And I love this last comment. I think it's beautiful. It's okay to start over. And that is a beautiful thing. And so true. Life is not over. We need to be okay with moving in a different direction with grace. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There was a woman this morning, I'll say this real quickly, on Twitter, and she had a house keys, and she was like, I moved out of an abusive situation. And she was just showing an empty apartment. And
That's
it's
awesome.
change is sometimes a blessing, and we fear it, and so we keep doing the same things that we were doing before.
That's right. Getting past the fear is such a huge thing. That's another conversation for another day.
Yep, and what other people think, which is another conversation.
Yeah, the fear of change. It's a blessing to get on the other side. To get on the other side is a beautiful thing. Well, it is 10 o'clock. We are out of time. I want to thank you, Dr. Linda, for always being here and sharing such great advice this morning and input and thoughts, and for everybody that showed up this morning. Happy to have you here, as always. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Vicky to close us out this morning. Thanks
Thank you,
again.
Dr. Linda. Thank you, Kelly. God, we thank you for another Sunday support call for the Sunrise Project and the wisdom that has been poured, the safe and sacred space to process, reflect, to have an opportunity to do things differently. Thank you for your grace that continues to keep us, your mercy that is new every morning. And even the favor that is extended to us as
We grow through these parenting journeys that each of us have, continue to bless our homes, bless and protect our children. Give us grace to be able to endure the difficult and inconvenient and uncomfortable moments where we have to bear witness to our children's growth. Help us to be mindful of our own self-care and self-love. And we just give you honor and praise for, again, this powerful community that you've blessed us to be a part of. Bless us as we go further into this day and bring us back again together on next Sunday. And we give you all honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Have a great day, and we'll see you next Sunday. Have a good one.